morning. Welcome to the March 28th, 2012 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Eva Tara Taylor, who will be getting controls as the executive secretary for the hearing today. A few general items about the variance hearing. First order of presentation, the applicant and or property owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral testimony as to how the five findings required to justify variance have been met. And a reminder, all five findings must be met in order to justify granting of the variance. At this time, the applicant should also submit a declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak each, and the applicant and or property owner will be allowed 3 minutes of rebuttal if there's any testimony in opposition to the project. During the hearing, I may ask questions of project sponsor, members of the public. At the end of the hearing, may close the matter, take under advisement, and make a decision today, or may continue to a future calendar. There are no items on the consent calendar today. There will be a general public hearing at the end of the agenda, which is for items that are not on the calendar. And we actually do have one item that will be continued as well to the next hearing. But let me first go into the criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, that a literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Due to the current staffing considerations, various decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of the hearing. If you wish to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign up the sign-up sheet on the far wall. It's the decision letter which carries the appeal right, and that is an appeal within 10 days of the issuance of the letter to the Board of Appeals. Other items, private conversations can be instructive during the hearing. While we encourage parties to discuss, please do so out in the hall. The next variance hearing is scheduled for a month from now, April 25th. And audio recordings of the variance hearing, beginning with the January 1st, 2011 hearing, are available on the Planning Department's website as a link from the hearing agenda. So that's all. We can now move to the items for continuance.
Item number A, consideration of items proposed for continuance. Case number 2011.1274V, 1884 Green Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. This item will be continued to April 25th, 2012.
Is there anyone here for public comment on the continuance of this item to April 25th, 2012 for 1884 Green Street? Seeing none, we'd continue this item to the April 25th, 2012 variance hearing, noting there will be a new notification as required, and that's why this item is being continued out further, having on pre-December, January, and February calendars, and now we can move on to the regular calendar.
As mentioned earlier, item B, consent calendar. There are no items in our consent calendar, so we're moving on to item C, regular calendar. First item. Case number 2010.1065V, 123 Cherry Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure, variances sought. Is the sponsor for this project here? 123 Cherry Street.
So let's pull this item over and we'll move to item number two.
Item number two, case number 2011.1390V, 305 Filbert Street, front yard setback and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is David Thompson, Thompson Studio Architects. The project is basically a rebuild replacement of an existing deck that had been on the front of the building since pre-1949. There was, I guess, in the process of doing a renovation of the building, there was a misunderstanding between the building owner and the building inspector about the okay to go ahead and do a rebuild of this deck as part of the structure, part of the renovation project. The deck was removed and started being rebuilt in kind. A new building inspector came out to inspect other portions of the project and inquired about the work being done on the deck, and at that point kind of flagged it as a notice for violation because it wasn't really covered as part of the approved renovation project. So that's just a brief history. The proposed project will result in the in-kind replacement of a hazardous structure. The proposed replacement structure will provide easily accessible outdoor space from the second floor, which currently has no immediate adjacent outdoor living area. The project is extraordinary in that the structure being replaced in kind has existed at least since 1949. It appears on the 1949 Sanborn map, and because of a misunderstanding of the owner, it was completely removed instead of being selectively repaired, which would have been allowed without requiring a variance. Hardship that requires the variance is a direct consequence of existing conditions. The code would allow the deck to be repaired without requiring a variance. Even though the deck was completely removed, the rebuilt structure ends up being identical to the repaired deck. It is a hardship to take away this deck from the owner. In any event, there is little difference between the original deck, a repaired deck, and a rebuilt deck. The biggest difference is that the rebuilt deck is safer, structurally sound deck. The variance is necessary because the original deck is already located within the front yard setback, and its repair and or replacement would require the same encroachment into the front yard. Because of the uniqueness of the site being adjacent to the Filbert Street steps, with a large right-of-way between the houses and the actual steps, all the neighboring properties have utilized this right-of-way as a front yard with gates, fences, landscaping, trellises, outdoor patio areas, etc. This proposed project merely attempts to replace a feature that has always existed and fits the general pattern of the neighborhood to use this front yard right-of-way area as outdoor space. Most of these properties have little to no rear yards, so this front yard area is used as outdoor space. Granting this variance will improve the public welfare as well as safety between adjacent properties. Because the proposed project involves removing a rotten deck and replacing with a modern one, the safety of 305 Filbert Street occupants will be improved, as well as anyone visiting the property who may happen to be underneath or on the deck when there was structural failure. By approving this variance, 305 Filbert Street owners will be able to remove an unsafe structure and replace with a safe structure that complies with current building codes. Further, by allowing the owners to maintain the small deck at the second floor, the occupant will gain a designated private outdoor space at this level. The proposed project maintains a condition that has existed at this site for a long, long time. It would be unfortunate for the owner to lose a property condition that existed when the property was purchased because of the subtle difference of rebuilding or repairing when the final condition is the same. Thank you.
Thank you for presenting such a thorough argument of how the findings have been met. Just to clarify a few things, the lot size is about 25 by 50, so it's about half the size of a standard size lot in San Francisco.
That's correct, yes.
And then the level at which the deck will be located, the replacement deck, that is looks like a bedroom and a family room, is that right?
Yes, it's predominantly just a family. Yes.
And then that's the only source of usable open space at that level?
That's correct.
Okay. And to my understanding, while the building itself may not be considered a historic resource, that you're saying that the deck has been in place since pre-1949?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Is there any public comment on this item on 305 Gilbert Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it is a legal substandard lot at 25 by 100 as replacement of an existing feature that it has existed for in excess of 50, 60 years, and does provide usable open space at that living level. So we can move on to the next item, item number three.
Item number three, case number 2011.1040V, 621 Stockton Street. Rear yard, dwelling unit exposure, usable open space, and bicycle parking variances sought. Is the sponsor of this project here?
We are.
Would you please approach the mic, sir? You have 5 minutes.
Good morning and
Okay, approach the mic.
My voice kind of carries, so.
That's a good thing.
Thank you for taking the time to meet with us. I'm Peter Camerato, and this is Sandra Hawkins. And we're going to address the five variance requests. As you've seen in writing, you have our initial response, and I'd like to augment the docket, if you will, the conditions. So we're requesting the legalization of a building that was built in the back rear of the building mid-1980s. We received our first notice of violation 10/20 of 2003 and subsequent follow-up 5/12 of 2009. So there was quite a period between first notice and second follow-up notice of violation. The building was subsequently purchased in 2009 to a new owner. So we're subsequently trying to respond to a pre-existing condition when we purchased the building. Item number one, we're right across from the Ritz-Carlton, this building. It's a high-needs tenant building. They have high expectations of upkeep and service, and that we keep the building in its context of the neighborhood and so on and so forth. The primary reason or the reason for the cottage in the back is to house the resident manager. And why that's so critical, number one, it complies with San Francisco building resident manager requirements. It also allows the resident manager to service the high need to residents and tenants. There are daily requests of vacuuming or cleaning or gardening, what have you, as well as safety and security with the resident manager really on site most of the time in the back of the building. They provide an extra level or layer of security, not just for that building, but for other building owners in the surrounding area. There are currently no vacancies in the building, and there haven't been for some time. As you can well imagine, it's very difficult. Not difficult. The tenants don't want to move out once they move in there. Great location, probably one of the best in San Francisco, again, across from the Ritz-Carlton. And as a result, if we were asked to take the building down, we would have to relocate the resident manager and be without a resident manager until a vacancy became available, and then we would have a reduction of services issue. So again, we're just trying to comply with building code and variance requirements. The hardship it would create are a few. I think we've elaborated on a couple of them. Additionally, the cost to remove the building as well as additional landscaping requirements would be additional costs to the owner, not to mention it would disrupt the living and habitability of the building for the current residents. It could possibly change and most likely change the foundation drainage system. I actually retrofitted that entire building's foundation. It was relatively expensive to do that, and part of the problem of the erosion was due to water filtration and water directional pour. So I believe that removing the cottage would negatively impact the building foundation over time. The cottage does create privacy and security for the adjacent building owners as well. And I believe if you remove the cottage, it would also reduce the value of the building, as well as surrounding areas. If the building ever went back to market, it would actually reduce the value of the building. And then if the other building owners in the adjacent areas were to sell, they too would have to use this as you would call a comparable building value, and it would negatively impact that. So I think for all property owners, they enjoy the landscaping that we have. And if you look at our building in particular, the front landscaping is unlike any in a many block radius. We've got a big, large frontage of gardening that we invest a lot of money in to keep it up. Again, it's right across from the Ritz-Carlton, and this cottage is not seen from the street, so it's not impacting that great green belt. If we remove the cottage, we would conceivably be damaging, I believe, some of the green belt back there that exists. We would be changing the profile that's existed almost for 30 years there. And lastly, as it relates to that item number two, hardship, I believe that if we did remove it, if we did install sprinklers, that's additional water value that would be over and above what I believe. May I have a moment or two more?
You can finish that thought.
I thank you. There would be additional water value that would be borne by the owner. We would be using more city resource to water the back area and the landscaping, which I think is, if you take away some of the greenbelt area and you add some more drainage, I think that would be a negative impact also. So I appreciate your time. The cottage blends in the area, same building materials, stucco coloring. It blends in very well with the adjacent building, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
So
you indicated that the building was constructed in the mid-1980s?
We believe so, yes. There aren't any records, as the previous building owner did so without proper permitting.
And there was a notice of violation in 2003 and 2009. The previous owner never responded to those.
Yes, it was a group of building, that is accurate, it was a group of investors that had a pattern and practice of ignoring city requests.
And you acquired the building in 2009?
We did acquire the building in 2009, and actually there were about five notices of violations on the building. Unsafe building, foundation crumbling. We've invested probably $250,000 in all the maintenance that was not handled and taken care of by the previous owner. And in fact, I was the person that oversaw that and ran that project. So we did bring everything to code, and this is the last little piece. Everything's all taken care of except this last item.
So you were well aware that this structure was illegal at the time you acquired the building?
We looked at that's a good question, and we looked at all the documentation, and it was represented to us that it was legal. Yes, you can look online and you can see that it was illegal, but how it was represented was that we were in process of getting it resolved and legalized in the unit, and that's when we purchased the building. That was what was told to us. Now,
that was represented by the seller.
I was not in that particular meeting. However, if I look at, I'm also responsible for remediating all of the NOVs across the entire group of buildings that this one's connected to. And what I found is that there's been a pattern and practice of, I'm just going to say deceit. And we've asked for information. We were given information. It's not always been accurate.
Who was the previous owner of the building?
I believe it was the Lemby Group. That's what I believe. I'm not.
So you acquired this and other properties that they own?
Sorry?
You acquired this property as well?
Yeah, this was just a group. This was a group of, I think, six properties.
Oh. All right. So you indicated that there are no vacancies in the building.
To my knowledge, there aren't any vacancies in that particular building.
One of the photos that I did receive had a rent SF Now sign out
yes.
front of it.
Yes, so those are, yes, thank you for that. There was a violation posted to take that sign down because you can only have a posted sign as such if there is a vacancy. There are no vacancies there. We're in the process of taking that down.
But it has not yet.
It has not, in order to comply with the notice, because on the other few buildings, those signs were also posted. Yes.
Then just a note you raised about property values. And property values are not something that can be considered as a hardship.
Of course. Yes.
The kind of the issue about water use, and while obviously sensitive to water use, there would of course be many native species, drought-resistant species, that would be suitable for landscaping here that would not unnecessarily draw upon or increase demand of water, and also we generally view, you know, the loss of kind of root areas or paved areas as a good thing in terms of increasing permeability and more permeable surfaces in the city. So,
and so I appreciate that, and absolutely, I know that the value wasn't a submittable item, but it's, I think it was important just to say.
You can definitely reiterate that.
Thank you.
In your comments.
And we do have a lot of green belt in the front, and if you compare our building to any other building in a several block area, we may or may not have pictures of the front, but it's certainly, we've got probably more permeable ground green belt than any other building in that area, and it's very beautiful, by the way.
And let's see, you know, you have concerns about foundation, so you said you upgraded the foundation.
We have, and we've done everything with permit. We've seismically retrofitted the foundation as well. Building has been out there. I've been meeting with senior building officials, in fact, because of this building. The process of not upkeeping it and investing money to keep it at a standard level was problematic. And as you know, it's right next to the Ritz. You can't have a property like that go into disrepair. And it does, that would impact the value as well as the property owner. So we have invested money. We have fixed up the foundation. We've retrofitted it. It is stable, and we've resolved those outstanding items.
So you have a concern that if your building were to be removed, then that would somehow cause damage to how they
foundation erosion, absolutely. And yes.
And get a licensed engineer giving you that advice? Or?
Yes, we do have advice from a licensed engineer indicating that over time, if you remove additional foundation concrete hardscapes in the back, it would eventually undermine the foundation. And that's what led over time to the foundation washing away. Literally, if we went and looked at one of the NOVs, it absolutely indicates that part of the foundation was washed away. And part of the reason, if you look at the sloping of the property, it's like this. And what happens is the water just kind of flows down, and there's a piece of foundation that kind of supports the entire structure that's in the front. So if this is here's the building, right? There's the front of Stockton. There is a piece of foundation that goes like this. And this piece was washed away here. And the cottage is right here, and that's kind of how the water flows, right into this general direction. And there's existing drain that was installed to take care of that issue when I did the retrofit.
And so obviously this is for an on-site manager, and
100%.
Is the on-site manager here today?
On-site manager is not here, but we could, if you need a follow-up letter or indication that the resident manager resides, so we have no problem providing that.
How long have they been employed?
That I don't know. I can't give you that information, but I can certainly answer those questions in a follow-up email later today, if you like.
And has it always been, as far as you know, it's always been occupied by a resident?
To my knowledge, yes. The last gentleman that was there was named Chuck. I don't recall his last name. Tall guy, 6'3", white hair, glasses. He resided back there. When ownership changed, they changed managers. I don't know the name of the person. That's typically not my function. However, it's easy for me to find that out and send that to the commission. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Have any public comment now?
Appreciate your time.
Any public comment on this item? So you have 3 minutes to speak, and anyone else you would like to speak?
Would you like me to stay here or listen?
Oh, you can have a sit.
Okay.
Progress.
Thank you. My name is Gary Wu. I live on the other side of the proposed legalization of the building. And I just have a couple of things to say. They gave the date of the original building, that's 1985. I don't think that's true. I think it's built after that. And I don't really have the exact date because I moved in there around 1985. It wasn't there. And I don't have the exact time frame was built. I don't think it's more than 15 years old.
Okay.
Secondly, how do we guarantee that unit will be occupied by a manager? because that area is quite dense. Because I think that building is the only one that has any size yard. The rest of the structure has very little yard, so we're pretty boxed in. And the building is overly large, obviously, but how do we guarantee that there won't be a big family moving in or some other thing other than using as a manager? Is it up to us as neighbors to monitor that, or?
That's an excellent question. So we can have the private sponsor respond to that. Is there any other questions or comments? Or?
Also, how does the fire, et cetera, and because there's no access, at least the building does not face any kind of streets, alleys, or I don't know what the front of the structure, how it leads to the front, because I don't have access to it.
So if the variance is granted, then the building permit would be reviewed by the Department of Building Inspection.
Okay.
And right. So they would review it for the fire code requirements.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Any other members of the public to speak on 621 Stockton Street? Seeing the project plans, you have a 3-minute rebuttal, and if you can address some of the concerns that have been raised, and I can say that I share those concerns about the guaranteeing that this would be used by a manager. We'd have to go with the good word that you have, and not that we don't trust that or can't trust that, but I think it is a concern. And I mean, overall, you are asking for substantial amount of variances. We're looking at rear yard exposure, usable open space, vice parking. But you know, this is not something, given the amount of exposure variance, usable open space, the rear yard, it's not what we would call a quality dwelling unit in the city. So do you have concerns about that?
Well, first, thank you for coming. I appreciate that. We understand your concerns, and I'm glad that you came to talk to your topic. Thank you. As it relates to the build 1985, I said I thought it was around 83. I wasn't sure. We don't know 100%. We believe it was about that time. So that's a big concern. The guaranteed occupied by manager, that's absolutely a reasonable concern. There's a couple of responses to that. The first is we need a resident manager. I believe there are 22 units in the building. By San Francisco code, we need to have a resident manager over 16 units. Those units are very expensive. Most people that live on that street right across from the Ritz expect a certain level of comfort. This is not the most comfortable unit. It's certainly not comparable to the units inside of Stockton, and certainly we wouldn't want to invite a renter in that didn't have that high expectation of that building in that area, because that would take away from the quiet enjoyment of the building that the current and existing residents have. So for us, the quality of life is very important. We don't take this lightly. And I think if you look at our pattern and practice of behavior, current ownership, it is to remediate outstanding issues which lend themselves to better quality living and life of those in the apartment community, in the building, and the surrounding area. That's just typically how we function. And as it relates to guaranteeing the occupancy, we don't mind putting something in writing, indicating that, now whether it's enforceable, that's another issue, but you would be calling us out as a professional group, as a business that owns property in San Francisco, that interfaces with the city literally every day. We've got very good relationships. We're reputable. We are honest people, and we do what has been asked of us, and we just ask that we can continue to move forward together. If you need something in writing, ownership, I'm sure, would be more than happy to do that. And we do understand that there are multiple variances that are being requested to bike. It's easy, you know, there's easy bike parking in that area. And we do understand that this is not something that we take lightly. We understand that. And we feel that we've responded in a very direct way to all of the questions, and very happy and open to answering any more questions or concerns that you may have, because we'd like to dialogue and help achieve an end.
What year was the building, the main building, constructed?
I can tell you because I'm actually on the planning site, if you give me one moment. Very handy tool. So it looks like Good. Hopefully they're not blocking me here. I believe, do we have that on our plans?
We'll have it in our records.
Let's look in the records if you can, real quick, while I look on site here.
That's right, that's right. It's not that important, but the building, you know, it exceeds 50 years.
Definitely, yeah.
Assuming that the 22 units.
1917.
1917. And so I'm assuming that one of those 22 units was previously a resident manager.
Probably, yeah. I mean, we'd have to assume that.
And so of the 22 units, what's the unit mix? And you say that there are some larger units in there. Is this nominally 1-2-bedroom units in the building?
So there are 1-bedroom units and there are 2-bedroom units. There's a suite in there as well. It takes up half of, I think, the second floor. So, you know, and as it says here, there are 23 bathrooms. It doesn't give me the unit count as far as 1-bedrooms, 2-bedroom suites. But I do know that there is a mix, 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, and there's a suite there as well, which is unique to the building.
I wonder if, you know, if one of the units were merged over time, maybe if there's
I don't know. We don't know that history. Certainly there was no notice of violation indicating that as such, nor does one exist currently. I have not heard that before. Could it have happened? It's conceivable, sure.
But you have concerns about the variance, and I have serious concerns and reservations about granting the variance. That said, I am sensitive to the fact that there is someone currently residing in the manager's unit that's required to have this manager's unit, as I stated. And you know, we'd want to, I think at this point, close the public hearing, take the matter under advisement, and look at ways of maybe phasing, perhaps. So, you know, we've done this in the past where we've gotten we have a condition of approval that we get annual reports, and so annual reports about the occupancy of the building. This first vacancy that comes up, then the resident manager can move back to the main building, and then we would expire the variance and have the dwelling be removed at that point in time. So that's something that would be inclined to consider. Something we'll deliberate with further and consult with staff and for issuing a final decision. But if that decision is issued and you disagree with it, you want it to remain in perpetuity, you can of course appeal that to the Board of Appeals. But I do have concerns about the building remaining. It was a legal construction. It's not a quality unit. You have concerns about ensuring that a manager will always reside there in perpetuity, and think that really the appropriate location for the manager's unit is within the building. It's what it historically would have been, and we should try to get back to that situation. But I am sensitive in how we go about doing that, given this building's full occupancy, and there is a current someone residing in that unit that we need to be removed. So, again, with that, close the public hearing, take the matter under advisement, and we'll get back to you with the final decision.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
So that item is completed. We can actually go back to the first item and see if anyone is here.
Okay, going back to item number one. Case number 2010.1065V, 123 Cherry Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? 123 Cherry Street?
Are you here as members of the public for Cherry Street? Or?
I'm just here observing for a project.
Oh, okay. And so are you here for an item on the calendar, or? Alta? No, there's no Alta project that. Do them?
So Cherry's the last one?
Yeah, there was the only items that we had scheduled today were Green Street, which was continued. We have Stockton Street, which we just heard Cherry is on right now, but there's no project sponsor. And then
305 Filbert.
So those are the only items. What was the address on Alta?
17. I probably just.
Oh, alright. So with that, we'll continue the Cherry Street item to the April 25th hearing.
Okay.
For the project sponsors to be able to attend. And we'll go to general public comment. Okay. Does it seem like there's any general public? public comment, so that we can adjourn this meeting. Thank you, and we'll adjourn on April 25th.